This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. Okay, we're going to get going. Our topic is Spirit and Truth. I'm going to pray, and then we're still in John, but we're in a new chapter. The next chapter from yesterday's topic or discussion. Lord, I pray that you will help us work out and be aware of some of the pitfalls of walking in the Spirit and honoring your truth, following Jesus' example of someone who perfectly did this, and soberly realizing that at times you had enemies coming out your ears because you chose to obey God rather than man. And not to fear man as men fear men. And so help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things that we need to be aware of when we start worshiping, and what we do is an act of worship, when we start doing this in spirit and in truth, is that we need to be aware that just by doing this, we create enemies. Because one of the first things people notice is that you are not, remember, we are made worshipers, but we can get our eyes off of the Lord and onto our own dogmas very easily. The do's and the don'ts that maybe we were raised with, the do's and the don'ts that ultimately we're just comfortable with, and we're comfortable with a semblance of what we feel we can keep up and hold over somebody else's head. And so when often Jesus confronted that just by doing God's will, and we'll read that example here today in John 5, but He is who we need to be like. But we've got to recognize that we are coming up against people's traditions, people's social norms, people's personal criteria. Myself included, I have a whole list of criteria of how I'm, you know, should be approached. What I'm willing to put up with and what I'm not willing to put up with. And in a sense, but it's another topic. There's definitely, you can definitely make a case for drawing certain borders and boundaries with people, but you will receive the most flack from those who feel as though they've got this thing, this church thing, this Jesus thing figured out. They have not come to the conclusion that, man, we are needy before Christ daily. These are the group of people who are okay with themselves. I am not saying you should hate yourself, you know, self-loathing, turn to self-loathing, but to be fine with your own strength and fine with your own way of doing things and fine with your, and never even reflect I really don't think it's okay. There's this little TikTok video. And I know I'm treading on a very fine line because we don't really have this area in Western Church. This is new territory in Western Church. And we're going to have to really find this path again when our religious liberties are stripped. When we are called on to discriminate again, when we, you know, against people that are not vaccinated, when we don't feel like we live in an oppressive society, and then suddenly we realize that we are living in an oppressive society. Here's one example in a way Jesus was walking around in an oppressive society. First of all, the emperor was supposed to be akin to God. There's your first clue that it was an oppressive society. Your second clue is the way that they treated women in that society. It was an oppressive society. And he managed to walk in spirit and in truth. We have been managing to walk in our own dogmas, dictates, and traditions. That's how we've done this church thing. But when it's all stripped away, when our freedoms are stripped away, when our educational choices are stripped away, when our livelihoods are stripped away, when our dignity is stripped away, when that is all gone in the society, we will get jolted back onto this path of living in spirit and truth. Because why? Why would we be jolted back onto that? Because it is real easy to live our way and according to our few religious good ideas when there is no gun aimed at our head. But when there's a gun aimed at our head, we have to make that choice. Am I still going to serve God? How am I going to do that? How am I going to walk forward? All of a sudden, boom, to do this means to understand that I will suffer. And we will have to figure out, are we going to run right out in the open and get shot? Maybe that's not the smartest way. I guess I need to depend on the Spirit of God for my steps forward. I guess I need to depend not on what I think about Scripture, on what I'm going to work out in Scripture. Not all my preferences concerning Scripture and my dogmas and my little church faction and my quote-unquote core beliefs, but those beliefs that I intend to put into practice today because there is a gun at my head. How am I going to do this? And we will have to walk in spirit and in truth. But praise God, we have an example in Jesus Christ, how he did this. How he walked in spirit and truth. And it's quite a little distance here. Starting chapter 5, John 5. Verse 1, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there, if he was trying to avoid Jews and the Pharisees and what they were going and their reactions, this wasn't a good time to go. So we don't have someone, Jesus is not someone who is fearful. Okay, so we put that in our little notebook. Walking in spirit and truth, A, number one, no fear. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In this lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, withered, waiting for moving for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. The second thing to note, couched in there with being fearless, it's easy for me to be fearless when I'm by myself. But add to that the reputation or what I'm going to look like by walking in this. Some of us, this is a huge battle. This is a huge battle. God has shown you something and is wanting you to walk in freedom concerning something, but you know your religious context frowns upon it. God's not asking you just to be fearless behind those doors where we can all be fearless. He's asking you to be fearless in front of the religion and go after, in front of the religious and go after those on the wayside. God is not seeking to save those who think they're already saved. God is, he came to heal those who are sick. I could give you the scriptural reference for that. Either put it up on the video or put it below, but I got to find it. We talked about this yesterday. Did he go to the well to find somebody who thought they had it all together yesterday? No. That's not what we found at the well. At all. And I hate to say this, when some of us make that choice to find the outcasts, to shelter those that are away from the beaten path of religion, the ones that are not so pretty, the ones that do not have such a great reputation, we are going to invoke judgment. What are they hanging out with them for? Oh, she's just weird now. Have you seen who she hangs out with? Must be something wrong with her. They thought all manner of things about Jesus. Absolutely. If you get the idea that Jesus is walking around with this little halo above his head, shining over everyone, oh, it's Jesus. No, look at that loser. That's pretty much more what they were along the lines of what they were thinking. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the water into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, I'm a star of your show now. We talked about this yesterday. Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. And here's where we get into the problem. When you start working against your religious norms, the religious dictates, even if they're social, well, you should never say that. Well, you should always acquiesce. This was a big deal for me. What if I'm called to do this, and this person thinks by doing that, I'm disobeying them and their religious norms and what they've pre-decided I should be doing with my life? Well, you should just be a mom. God's already given you your ministry. Oh, we love that bench. We love that bench. That is a comfortable bench to sit on. Why? Because we don't have to confront ourselves anymore. We don't have to confront all the wasted time in front of Facebook. Yes, yes, please take care of your children. No, no, they are not Jesus. That's a huge, I mean, I'm just going to shut up now. And the point really isn't do I just focus on being a housewife or not? That's not it. It's not occupation I'm going to concern myself with or turn around and do the same thing to you. You shouldn't be doing, or you should be doing, when I don't know what God has called you to do. But I do know I'm not God. And so we're going to find out that these Pharisees think they should have say. And what Jesus does on the Sabbath and what he doesn't do on the Sabbath. And they should have a say in what honors God and what doesn't honor God. And really, the only glaring problem here is there are a bunch of little G gods running around, slapping down dictates that have nothing whatsoever to do with Scripture or the heart of God. But it was the Sabbath. Ruh-roh. The big no-no. The big don't go there. It's the Sabbath. Don't bring that up. Don't even think of what's this hobby horse now? What's the big no-no in your context? Maybe that's a glass ceiling. God wants you to push through. I mean, of all things. I mean, if you were trying to avoid a conflict, that was the last thing you needed to do, Jesus. I think a lot of us are too busy avoiding conflict. Now, I don't see that he was running out into conflict like, hit me with your best shot. But It's not that he was too dumb to know that it was the Sabbath. It was not that he was too dumb to know that the Jews were gathered. That it, he was not oblivious. Don't be afraid of conflict. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of conflict. This is criteria for walking in spirit and truth. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, it is a Sabbath. Their trumpets, I can just, you know, they've got it. I mean, this is mainstream media. You do not question the Sabbath. You do not ask us to work on the Sabbath. You will not get permission to work on the Sabbath. This Sabbath is our golden cow. Sabbath, 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 Sabbath. Everybody's under this yoke of the Sabbath, 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 Sabbath. Nobody can question Sabbath, 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 Sabbath. Nobody has any rights on the Sabbath, 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 Sabbath. You see why Jesus stepped into the Sabbath, 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 Sabbath now? It was so far removed from the heart of God that boom, oh, now it makes sense that he went in there when the Jews were gathered. Boom. Now it makes sense. He finds the one who's been laying there for 33 years wanting to get healed and heals him. Boom. Now we know why it was a Sabbath that he did this. To take down a golden calf, to break that glass ceiling, to rip the yoke off of those who witnessed him do this. So the Jews were saying to the man who was cured, oh, no, I'm on verse 11, just kidding. But he answered them, he who made me well was the one who said to me, pick up your pallet and walk. And they said to him, who is this man who said to you, pick up your pallet and walk? No focus on, I just got healed. I've been living on a step by a pool for 31 years. No, 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 we blew right past that. Sabbath, 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 Sabbath. Blew right past the healing. Blew right past the miraculous, blew right past the heart of God, blew right past the Spirit of God showing up, blew right past it all. And you'll find religious people are very good at blowing right past the heart of the issue. I can give an example. I've given them before, but right past. But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus, that guy, who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on Sabbath, 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 Sabbath. But he answered them, my Father is working until now, and I myself, I'm working. The heart of God is to seek and to save those who are lost. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.